Support for this podcast and the following message come from Lagunitas Brewing Company, challenging the status quo and crafting stories along the way. Featuring a wide range of innovative craft brews and non-alcoholic options, it's good to have friends. Learn more at lagunitas.com.
Previously on Rough Translation.
Love is a beautiful feeling.
Surya shows us this message.
Bachalo meko, ye log maar dalenge meko.
This is Akanksha. I'm alive, but I think they're going to kill me.
Shaadi karayenge, shaadi karayenge.
So then my parents asked me, why did you lie? And I said, well, because even you lied. You said you'd get me married and you got me locked up.
An officer says, do you know a man named Surya?
Vinay, main ke saath rehna chahti hu.
Yes, he's my husband. And I want to be with him.
This is episode 3 of Love Commandos. And if you've missed episodes 1 and 2, they are available right now in this podcast feed. The story we've told you so far is about this volunteer group in India. They're called the Love Commandos. They swear to protect love couples. And we also met a love couple who the group helped escape, Surya and Akanksha. Where we pick up the story, Surya and Akanksha have taken a bus to New Delhi to arrive at the Love Commandos' main shelter.
Welcome.
And that's where they meet the Love Commandos' founder, Sanjoy Sachdev.
It is our base shelter of the Love Commandos.
They have no idea what to expect, and neither did NPR correspondent Lauren Freyer when she visited the shelter just days earlier.
We had to go up this very steep set of stairs, like it was almost like a ladder, and through this door and then into the safe house.
Here we have a metal detector for checking.
Checking to see if I've come in with weapons.
Yeah.
The microphone sets it off.
You got the voice.
Mansi Choksi, the writer and journalist, is back with us as guest co-host. And 2 years before Lauren's trip, Mansi also visited the shelter.
There is a shrine of Hindu deities on one wall.
She passed the same metal detector, stepped into the same dimly lit apartment.
The first thing I noticed was just the amount of cigarette packets, biscuits, half-eaten biscuits, blood pressure machine, piles and piles of old withering documents.
There's a bedroom where Sachdev sleeps most nights.
And that's kind of the headquarters of this Love Commando shelter.
A TV in the corner of one room plays Hindi soap operas on a seemingly endless loop. In another room, the floor is covered with mattresses. That's where the love couples who stay here will sleep. The air is thick with smoke from Sachdev's cigarettes. A fluorescent light flickers. There are barely any windows. And to Akanksha, it's paradise. They rested, had breakfast, they went out shopping.
One of the Love Commandos took you shopping and bought you clothing?
Yes.
And with what money? Because you didn't have money.
No, Harsh Papa gave us money.
Harsh gave you money.
He's talking about Harsh Malhotra, a co-founder of the Love Commandos who lives across the street from the shelter. And you could hear, he refers to him as Papa. Sachdev, he calls Baba.
So Baba means grandfather, and Papa means daddy.
Yeah, we all call him Baba. Baba, Love Commandos.
Actually, one of the rules of the shelter is that all the couples must address him as Baba, and all the other young, other commandos as Papa.
And it's a role that Sachdev told Lauren he takes very seriously.
I'm a father. I must understand what my duties are.
So do you think that the couples see you as a father?
Yes.
They're his children no matter what. He loves them unconditionally.
Surya describes how each morning, after he and Akanksha would wake up and do their chores, they'd sit for hours by Sachdev's bedside.
And they would read all the papers.
The older man would read to them from the newspaper.
Padha karo, kuch knowledge liya karo.
This is for your knowledge, Sachdev would tell him.
Hamesha kuch na kuch sahi batate the.
Surya's dad wasn't around that much when he was growing up, and he found these lectures reassuring. And it wasn't just Surya. On Mansi's trip to the shelter, she also saw these tender scenes between the couples and their protector, Sachdev.
Someone will bring him his food, his medicines. Someone will check his blood sugar. Then, the dogs will come.
There are three shelter dogs, Sandy, Brownie, and Romeo.
You pet them, and it really reminds me of a grandfather.
This is Rough Translation. I'm Gregory Warner. Couples came to this shelter because they needed protection. But what they found here was something more like a Spartan boarding school. They were told here, they would learn to survive without the families that raised them. The Love Commandos told Surya, you should learn something here because back in your home, you were only a child. Sachdev would offer lectures on everything from table manners to his take on Hindu lore. But what was really behind this education? While every couple who came here had a daring story of escape, what they would come to realize is that escape was far from the same thing as freedom. Rough Translation, back after this break.
Summer is for going to the movie theater because it's too hot to stay home. It's for driving with the windows down, listening to your favorite music. It's for stretching out while you're on vacation to gobble up a TV show. For a guide to some of the TV, movies, and music we are most excited about this summer, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Carvana, on a mission to make car buying more convenient and affordable than ever before. In minutes, you can browse thousands of options under $20,000. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today to get started.
Okay, close your eyes for a second. Now imagine you're on your dream vacation. No work calls to answer, no text messages to respond to, just your suitcase and an opportunity.
The opportunity to just take yourself out of your routine and travel deeper.
How to actually take that dream trip. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
Climate change fuels hurricanes.
China promises to stop.
The big lie persists.
Butterflies have hearts.
Singers die.
Plumbers win.
Nurses persevere.
Your world speaks.
We listen.
NPR podcasts.
More voices, all ears.
Find NPR wherever you get your podcasts.
Taylor Swift has dropped a new album. She is the biggest pop star in the world, and everything she does makes news.
I gasped. I was like, oh my God, I've been there, and you can identify with it.
For a breakdown of Taylor Swift and her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
We're back with Rough Translation. I'm Gregory Warner. Surya and Akanksha arrived in the shelter in September of 2018. And as they approached the end of the year, the shelter filled up with couples. Surya says at one point there were seven couples living here, along with Sachdev.
We would gather around, we would play games, we would play Ludo.
That's producer Raksha Kumar interpreting for Akanksha.
There was never a boring moment at the shelter. We always had a lot of fun.
There are holiday celebrations. This is from a video that Surya and Akanksha showed Lauren of a New Year's Eve party.
Young people shoulder to shoulder, smiling, dancing with disposable cups in their hands. They look happy.
And Akanksha told Lauren, it wasn't just that life in the shelter could be lots of fun.
Akanksha says it was her dream to marry the person she'd fallen in love with. And while her own father disapproved of that, here's an elder, Sachdev, not only honoring that, but encouraging her and placing her in this long tradition.
Lord Shiva was Oghar, means scheduled caste of the day.
Lower caste.
Yeah.
He's talking about, you know, the great intercaste marriages in Hinduism. Lord Shiva marrying Lordess Parvati. It really helps a lot of young people to hear that one of the primary deities in Hinduism, Lord Shiva, married out of caste.
Everything these couples have heard before this, on the news, from their parents, is that love is a selfish act.
And it stops feeling, you know, like something that they've done out of being selfish or an act that is primarily seen as too small in their eyes now starts to have a big, large, beautiful meaning.
Every couple that arrived in the shelter was told of certain rules that they would have to follow. One of those rules was that the Love Commandos would take away their phones. This is so GPS tracking doesn't give away their location. But also, as Sachdev told Lauren, is that in case one of them has a moment of regret or doubt or maybe longing for home comforts, they don't pick up the phone and call home.
We tell them that until unless you are so strong that you can control the emotion or financial power or whatever may be the reason, you should avoid. Otherwise, emotional torture will start, and then that would be the result.
He believes that the law just isn't doing a good enough job of protecting young people from their families. And he says he's been there. He's witnessed moments when the police have delivered a young person back to their family, closed the door, and they hear screams from the other side of the door, and the police walk away.
Parents think that children are their properties.
And so when couples come to the shelter, he warns them.
Kindly don't use your own minds.
And I think he means just put your safety in my hands and I promise you, you will stay safe.
It's at this moment, when the shock of these couples' estrangement is just starting to register, that Sachdev will tell the story of Abdul Hakim, a young man who stayed at the shelter in its earliest years.
Every single person that I've met who's come through the Love Commandos shelter has heard the cautionary tale of Abdul Hakim.
It has been widely reported Abdul Hakim was killed because he had not gone on our advice.
Abdul Hakim and his wife have a baby.
The first delivery of the child was in one of the shelters.
And in some versions of this story that Sachdev tells, Abdul Hakim needs to go out to get medicine for the baby.
They are going to doctor for getting medicine for the child as she was having fever.
In other versions, it's because he wants to see his family. But whatever the reason, he leaves the shelter, makes contact with his family.
Shot dead in broad daylight while everyone watched.
A young man was allegedly killed by the brothers of his wife in Bulandshahr, his UP.
His crime, he dared to fall in love.
I remember when he told me the story, I was disturbed. Sachdev advises his couples about a 3-year cooling period. He says it would take 3 years for aggrieved family members to truly forgive and move past a couple's mistake of being together.
For 3 years, you're not supposed to call and say hi to your mom and dad. And the length of the separation period, it signifies the extent of Sachdev's distrust, not only of parents, but of their children.
I mean, there's not a single decision they've made for themselves in their entire lives before they ran away. They probably haven't been allowed to choose a career path. They've probably been told what to wear, what to do, how to spend time, who to hang out with.
So when they come to the shelter, Sachdev tells them they have to learn to live on their own. And a daily schedule is planned out for the couples that stay there. Alarm clocks go off a little after 6 a.m. That's a rule. All the couples line up to receive instructions from the group's co-founder, Harsh Malhotra.
Usually it is the women that cook and the men that clean. And the men also run errands.
Scrub the bathroom, refill the water tank, walk the dogs, run to the kiosk to get Sachdev more cigarettes. And there are other rules they have to follow too.
No naps because Sachdev feels that, you know, it makes young people lazy. You're not allowed to be inside the room with the door shut at any point in the day. The door must be kept open.
One of the rules of the shelter is no sex. And Sachdev justifies this by saying, look, you guys are sleeping multiple couples to a room. Let's be respectful of one another.
And that's a big shocker to them. But of course, all of them have sex.
So I hadn't really put this together, but like they may not have actually literally had a place to have sex before this.
Exactly.
Yeah, and all the other couples kind of just make adjustments for the new honeymooners that come in. Everybody will turn away, and just because everybody understands that they want to be together. But one of the most fascinating aspects about Sachdev is that he has no patience for going young couples.
You could hear this in the recordings that Mansi made from the shelter. It's not only these marital relations that Sachdev frowns upon. Even public displays of affection.
Like, he will snap at them. He'd be like, get out of here, not in front of my face. I don't want to see this. Speak in proper voices. No baby voices. I can't handle it.
At the very least, it seemed kind of like a honeymoon with Grandpa. Sachdev was not quite the defender of love he played on TV. But Surya says that Sachdev was not the main problem. It was other couples who didn't follow the rules. And at one point, Surya is talking to Lauren, and he's reminiscing about life in the shelter, scrolling through videos and group photos.
And then I start asking about, oh, well, what about those people? Where are they now?
Do you keep in touch with these people?
No.
And then when I point to this one couple, he's like, them? No. We're not in touch.
Because what Surya was living through in the shelter and his experience of Sachdev as a kind of substitute father, that was only one side of this story. Rough Translation, back after this break.
On It's Been a Minute, we're keeping you in the know when it comes to culture. I break down the latest trends and the forces behind them and introduce you to the creatives who think deeply about how we live today. Come for some good old cultural analysis and have a few laughs with me. Listen to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.
The day's top headlines, local stories from your community, your next podcast binge listen. You can have it all in one place, your pocket. Download the NPR app today.
The economy right now is bewildering, impenetrable, inconceivable.
Not when you have the Indicator podcast in your ears. In under 10 minutes every day, we simplify the complicated news, like...
How does inflation drop? What the heck is a SPAC? Why are trendy little high-fiber sodas suddenly dominating store shelves?
And more. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money and NPR.
We're back with Rough Translation. I'm Gregory Warner. Now, we're going to tell you about another couple that stayed in the shelter at the same time as Surya and Akanksha. Actually, it's the couple in the photograph that Surya just referred to, the one that they no longer talk to. Their names are Akriti and Gaurav.
Akriti and Gaurav are also an intercaste couple, and they met in college. They've been dating in secret.
So then, after that, the problem was that Akriti's family were higher in my category.
Gaurav says caste is the main problem. Akriti's family belongs to a higher caste and I am from a lower caste.
Their story is also pretty similar to Surya and Akanksha's. Gaurav says that Akriti, too, was taken by her family. Gaurav had to rescue her. And so when they arrive at the shelter, they're also really fearing for their lives.
Gaurav was a kind of couple that came there.
And Surya says, you know, Gaurav was weeping when he arrived at the shelter and he said, please save me. He says, they'll kill me.
We spoke to Gaurav, but when we reached out to Akriti, his wife, she wasn't available for an interview. And though we're not using any surnames in this story, out of safety concerns, Akriti's last name happens to be the name of a prominent political family. So Gaurav has reason to be terrified of their power and reach.
Gaurav had come to the shelter after seeing Sanjay Sachdev on YouTube.
Saath shelter chala rahe hain, jahan free food, free stay, protection, jahan kya kya hum karte.
And what he expected to find was a non-profit group that was going to protect him.
Before he could put the bag on the floor, they asked him, how much money did he have?
क्योंकि मेरे पास उस टाइम 40,000 रुपीस थे मेरे पास में.
गौरव सेड ही हैड 40,000 रुपीस विद हिम,
अराउंड 500 US डॉलर्स,
एंड ही टोल्ड देम ही हैड दिस मनी.
And that's a decent amount of money for India. It's way higher than the average monthly income.
Gaurav says immediately they took the 40,000 rupees from me and I did not bother putting up a fight.
This is so different from Surya Nikanksha's story about being greeted at the shelter with money to go shopping. Gaurav, he didn't feel like he had a choice. If they kicked him out now, he feared his wife's family would find him.
I asked Sachdev about this, why some couples are charged a whole lot and others seem to pay nothing.
And it is there mentioned on our website that they need to bear actual expenses.
Sachdev points to the Love Commandos website, which says couples are responsible for administrative expenses related to getting married. But then he says that some couples could not even pay that. So the Love Commandos had to charge other couples more money to make up the difference.
Generally, these love couples are always short of money. If we get 10 couples at a time, there are hardly 4 or 5 who can bear the total expense.
So the picture that Gaurav paints of this shelter, some of it overlaps with what Surya Nikanksha experienced, but it differs a lot.
For example, to hear Surya tell it, the chores they did around the shelter were expected, even morally beneficial. But Gaurav describes it as exploitation. And he says not only were they asked to clean the shelter where they lived, they also had to clean the private apartment of Harsh Malhotra, the Love Commandos co-founder.
Even unke toilets tak saaf karwana.
Gaurav says they even made them clean their toilets.
Harsh Malhotra denies this, but other couples also told Lauren that they were expected to clean his house.
Almost everything Gaurav has told me, I have verified with at least one or two other couples who've been to the shelter, but they're frightened, and not everybody wanted to go on the record.
One of the things that Gaurav said, and other men said, is that they were asked to do something in the evenings when the Love Commandos would be relaxing and drinking whiskey.
And the way he said it, I remember the words. He says, we had to press his feet. And I was like, what do you mean, press the feet? And it was Harsh Malhotra's feet and Sanjay Sachdev's feet.
Lauren would hear this from other couples too, so she called and asked Sachdev about this.
Some of them said they were forced to rub your feet.
As far as taking care of my feet is concerned, yes, sometimes when I was having acute pain and there was no family with me, only these children were my family, if I asked any of the boy to just do something, so that is not wrong. It is a fatherly thing to a son.
Yeah.
He saw these couples as his family. So he says, asking the men to do this was not wrong. It was what any father might expect.
When an elder tells you that his legs are aching, could you please press my feet? That's just something that you would do.
Like calling him Baba, like running his errands, or listening to his lectures.
I mean, this is the thing. It's, rubbing your grandfather's feet is something you do out of love. And it's a gesture of tenderness and closeness. And it's voluntary.
But these couples, of course, when they fled their own families, hadn't expected to be part of a different one.
I just wondered whether this was voluntary, given the power dynamic that these people's lives were in this man's hands.
Gaurav also, by his own admission, challenged the authority of Sanjay Sachdev and Harsh Malhotra in a way that Surya never did. And he says that the Love Commandos tried to humiliate him in return. They would mock him for being of a lower caste than his wife.
Gaurav says they told him, how dare he come here with the daughter of an upper caste family? Who does he think he is?
I heard it time and time again from couples who've gone through the shelter. Racist language, casteist language, Islamophobic slurs. One Muslim man told me he was like reduced to a caricature of a Muslim, like accused of wanting to make babies all the time. Another one said the commandos made fun of people's body types, the way people speak.
And different couples told Mansi and Lauren that Harsh Malhotra could be demanding.
He also is known to have a temper.
He's known to have a pretty bad temper.
Gaurav says Malhotra once threw one of the shelter dogs at him.
अब तक मतलब मेरी बॉडी पे अब तक घाव है मतलब उन्होंने जो ब्राउनी को मतलब एक बार मेरे ऊपर फेंक दिया ब्राउनी मतलब मींस मेरे शोल्डर पे कट लगा चुकी है.
Gaurav says I still have a scar from the dog Brownie, and that is because the Love Commandos threw Brownie at him and Brownie bit him on his shoulder.
There was another person in the shelter who actually says they saw this and would later allege in a police statement the same thing, that Harsh Malhotra made this dog bite Gaurav. So I called up Harsh Malhotra and I put this to him.
There is an allegation that you encouraged the dogs, Romeo, Brownie, Sandy, to bite people at the shelter.
काटा तो किसी भी नहीं है किसी को नहीं काटा.
And he says, are you kidding? Like Romeo, Brownie, Sandy. They're adorable.
छोटी सी है वो बेचारी बिल्कुल शांत है.
At one point he even showed me a video of couples in the shelter like cooing at the dogs and playing with them and
Gaurav, Akriti.
He's like, the couples doted on these dogs. They lined up to walk them. They cuddled with them.
Hugging. Cuddling the dog.
Romeo.
What's the date of this video?
This January.
This is January 2019.
And he says he doesn't remember any incident, accidental or otherwise, in which any of the dogs bit any of the people in the shelter.
For the record, Harsh Malhotra denies every accusation that the couples make against him. But the perplexing thing about this dog story is that there is that video. And there's a photo of just the dog and Gaurav.
He's smiling at the camera. The dog is tiny, adorable, fluffy, tongue out, panting, just inches from the guy's face.
Lauren finds that photo on one of Sajdev's Instagram stories. And when she shows Gaurav the photo, he's furious. It was the first time he'd been told that this photo existed and that it appeared publicly.
And he said, it's just unfair that we didn't have phones. We couldn't document any of it, and they could. And he said that there were times when they filmed them and took photos of them to make it seem like they were having a good time. And he didn't even remember that picture being taken, but he said, somebody must have told me to look at the camera and smile, and I did.
Someone told me to look at the camera and smile, and I did. Gaurav seems more angry about this Instagram story than almost anything else he experienced at the shelter. Because, if you think about it, what the Love Commandos represented, in the public eye, wasn't just protection of love couples, but the freedom to choose their own path. And when couples showed up here, they met rules meant to free them from their parents' control, only to have Sajdev assume control over almost everything in their life. And while couples had come here because they wanted a different story than the one that their parents set out for them, while they were in the shelter, they were part of Sachdev's story, one that he was telling the whole world.
Actually, main ek cheez bata deta hun. Agar hamare paas us shelter mein phone hote hain.
Gaurav says, the fact is that if we were allowed phones in the shelter,
to aaj aapko humse itni baat karne ki zarurat nahi thi.
You would not have had to talk to us for this long.
With evidence ke saath mein
you would just see the evidence yourself. We would have shown you all the evidence and we would have documented all the evidence.
Mansi Choksi, my co-host on this series, had her own experience reporting in the shelter in 2016. And she'd write about it years later in her book, The Newlyweds. You remember when she first heard about Sachdev, she'd admired his mission. It seemed like the thing that India needed.
The thing that I find striking about him is that he's a guy that belongs to the generation of people that are opposing love marriage.
It wasn't just his offer of shelter and protection, but his approval, which seemed to carry so much moral weight.
I think that he is the first one who is making the idea of forbidden love a political rallying cry.
Everything that Mansi had read or heard about the Love Commandos fit this story. And then she visited the shelter herself.
Okay. So first, tell me, why did you Love Commandos start?
And she was surprised at how quickly her own doubts about him started to grow. Sachdev wouldn't let her talk to any couples without him being present, which seemed odd. And then there was something else.
When I was sitting with him, interviewing him, he'd received a call.
Love commandos.
The rescue mission to save a love couple.
I'm holding on.
It's hit a snag.
If I don't send a car immediately, they're not going to be able to make it out alive. They risk being separated. They risk being murdered.
But then he is turning to me while he is having these key discussions, like to kind of gesture, like, do I have any ideas for what can possibly be done?
Hello.
He seemed to be asking her for money.
He is definitely turning to me, dropping massive hints.
It wasn't just the request for money that seemed strange.
But when he's just kept on being pushy and just, you know, kept, just would not take no for an answer. It just felt really strange. Like, it just made me really uncomfortable.
I was put off by it, like, the fifth and sixth and seventh time. I mean, I was like, I told you, I can't give you money.
Now, Sachdev also asked Lauren for money, repeatedly. And it made her ask herself,
like, is he, where is this money going?
That's next time on Love Commandos from Rough Translation.
If you want to hear episode 4 before everyone else, go sign up for Embedded Plus. Embedded is the home for ambitious storytelling at NPR, and subscribing to Embedded Plus is a great way to support that work. Embedded Plus listeners will get to hear each episode of Love Commandos from Rough Translation a week early, and they'll get to listen to it sponsor-free. Go to plus.npr.org/embedded or look for the Embedded channel in Apple to find out more. And thanks to listeners who've already signed up.
Thank you, Mansi. You know, the Rough Translation fan base is as global and curious as the show itself. You can meet these fans as well as help me chart our post-NPR future and continue to hear surprising stories from around the globe. Check out my Substack. It's an email newsletter called Rough Transition, totally free to sign up. You will meet folks from more than 100 countries, all of them united by the desire to hear stories of people as they are and not as we're told they should be. This month on the Substack, you'll find extra reporting from India, like the role of public parks in shaping private desire. And next month, we are going on the road. You're not going to want to miss it. Join me on Substack.com. Search for my name, Gregory Warner, or search for Rough Transition, Stories from a Changing World. Love Commandos from Rough Translation is a collaboration with NPR's International Desk. It was reported by Lauren Freyer. The series was written and edited by me, Gregory Warner.
And it was co-hosted by me, Mansi Choksi. This episode was produced by Ariana Lee with help from Parth Shah, Elena Torek, and our senior producer, Adelina Lancinese.
Our senior editor is Luis Treyes. Our consulting editors are Miranda Kennedy and Sana Krasikov.
The Love Commandos team includes Justine Yan and Dan Gurma, Kimberly Aiza, Bhaskar Chaudhary, and Jess Jang. Our producers in India include Raksha Kumar and Sushmita Pathak.
Fact-checking by Nicolette Khan. Mary Glendinning is Director of Research at NPR's RAD Department. Legal support from Micah Ratner and Johannes Dergi. NPR's Standards and Practices Editor is Tony Cavan. Mastering by Josh Newell.
The Love Commandos theme song is by Vasu and Amira Gill, and it's inspired by Rough Translation's original theme song from John Ellis.
Additional music in this episode by Ramtin Arablui and First Come Music. Special thanks to Muskan Nagpal.
To see original illustrations of this series by Vartika Sharma, visit npr.org/roughtranslation. Our visuals editor is Emily Bogle.
Irene Noguchi is the executive producer of the Enterprise Storytelling Unit, our home at NPR. Liana Simstrom is our supervising producer.
Didi Skanky is chief editor and Nishan Dahia is deputy supervising senior editor at NPR's International Desk.
Anya Grunman is NPR senior vice president of programming and audience development. And I'm Gregory Warner. See you next time for episode 4 of Love Commandos from Rough Translation.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Osea. This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. They both come in giftable boxes with savings up to $46 and free shipping for a limited time. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
These days, news comes at you fast. But the truth? Getting there takes time.
There's something that hasn't been disclosed yet.
Embedded is a podcast that takes the time to look beyond the headlines.
How did this happen? How did we get here?
With original documentary storytelling. Listen to NPR's Embedded wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jesse Thorne. Why did Cola Scola write a bonkers, extremely fictionalized play about Mary Todd Lincoln?
Well, you know, it was 2020 and we were all so isolated. I just started doing research. But the truth is, I just thought of it.
We'll talk about that and more on Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.